as the devotional service rendered by my pure devotees. So this is the principle we have to understand. Krishna is expressing this in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Bhaktya mam abhijanati. I can be known as I am only by devotional service. So these other things, they're there, but they are useless unless, for attracting Krishna, unless they're overcoated with devotional service. They must be overcoated with devotional service, otherwise they have no value. If they become actually surcharged by being performed, just like in the Bhagavatam, there's also another verse in the first canto, which is said, Vasudeva para veda, Vasudeva para yogi, Vasudeva paro dhamo, Vasudeva param tapa. There's so many different things. That Krishna is the goal of performing mystic yoga. Krishna is the performance, Vasudeva para kriya. Krishna is the goal of performing all the ritualistic activities. Krishna is the goal of performing great tapasya. Krishna is the goal of performing great charity, giving everything in charity. Krishna is the goal of performing all one's dharmic activities to the best of one's ability. Krishna is the goal of studying the Veda. Krishna is the goal of performing great tapasya. The goal should be Krishna, Vasudeva, what is that? Vasudeva. Anyway, the supreme goal of life is Vasudeva. This principle should be understood very nicely. Because if we understand this, then our activities make some sense. Otherwise, they are all nonsense. This is the fact. Simply, activity. Why is it that activities not performed for Krishna are nonsense? Why is that? Who can explain?
Is it because it's because it goes up a material platform, materialistic, or for one own sense gratification rather than offering to Krishna?
Yes. So why is that nonsense? You're perfectly correct. So why is it nonsense?
It's nonsense because it's they're doing that for their own fruit of action.
Yes.
To gain something for themselves.
Yes. So why is that nonsense?
Because they're doing it for themselves and not for Krishna.
Yes. So why is it that they what is it nonsense doing it for themselves? After all, everyone in this world is thinking, I have to enjoy. So why is it that it is nonsense?
It's temporary.
It's temporary, yes. Yes. You're nearly there. Ashok Prabhu.
It doesn't please Krishna.
It doesn't please Krishna. So why is it nonsense to not do something for to do something not for Krishna but for oneself? But why is it, yeah, everyone is selfish, but why is it nonsense to do it?
Because it's a bondage, and I get more attached to material activities.
Yes.
You know,
it certainly causes bondage in the material world.
Yeah, you feel more attracted to the material energy rather than spiritual energy.
Okay, this is certainly true. Let's go a little further.
Because our goal is to achieve Krishna in life, you know.
Why?
Because we are part and parcel of the Krishna, you know.
Yes, we're getting there.
And that is what Lord wants. That is what Krishna wants.
Yes, this is all true. This is all true. But what is the reason why it's nonsense?
We're forgetting Krishna.
Because it's temporary?
Yes, we've had both these things.
Your answer
because it says here, you know, okay, all these of course are very nice activities, but they are not as attractive to me as the transcendental loving service rendered by my devotees.
Yes, this is true. They're not as, yes, this is the point. But the thing is that there's a very good reason for it, that why people are doing all these things, and because we become in ignorance of our constitutional nature as eternal servants of Krishna. This is our constitution, just like it's the constitution of the hand to serve the body. It's got no other function. If your hand wants to go off and do its own thing, it's useless, might as well cut it off. Is it? If your hand isn't going to agree to do what you want it to do, and it's just, you know, wants to sulk and not do it, no, it's not going to move. You know. Might as well cut it off because it's not doing anything useful. So in this material world, we're cut off from Krishna. We've actually cut ourselves off from Krishna because of not agreeing to be in our constitutional position, which is eternal servants of Krishna, because by nature, we're Krishna's eternal servant. Now, if we become reconnected, then actually it becomes meaningful. Otherwise, this hand is simply nonsense. If your hand is just being a nonsense hand, it is not agreeing to do what you want it to do. This is nonsense, because its constitution is meant for serving you. It has no other function. Yeah? So all these things, mystic yoga, performance of sacrifices, charity, austerity, religion, all these activities, people are performing these for their personal interest. But they don't know that the real interest is not to go for the personal interest. It's to act in its proper function, which is to serve Krishna. This is naturally attractive to Krishna, and it's naturally pleasing to the whole, to the part. If you please Krishna, we automatically become satisfied. So the principle is to enjoy through serving Krishna. Not thinking, well, I'll do my service and I will enjoy my sense gratification. For supposing my service is to drive a car, so I'm enjoying driving the nice car for Krishna. No. The principle is that Krishna should be pleased. The nice example is Daruka. He was standing there fanning Krishna. And he was feeling ecstasy. And actually he was feeling so much ecstasy that he couldn't do his service properly. So he prayed that the ecstasy would go away so that he could do the service nicely. This is the platform of devotional service. So these things we have to understand, that it's our constitutional position to be engaged as the eternal servant of Krishna. And we so easily forget and become absorbed in the material conception of life. But this is why we keep the association of devotees, keep chanting Hare Krishna, keep taking prasadam, keep dancing and singing for Krishna in the arti, performing puja for Krishna, remembering Krishna, serving Krishna's devotees, surrendering to the spiritual master, because this is our constitution to be engaged in Krishna's service. And the very nature of it, it's the platform of real life. It's the platform of spiritual life. So just like Lord Chaitanya explains in his Shikshastakam verse, first verse of Shikshastakam, glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together. And thus the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death is extinguished. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. Vidya vadu jivana. Because if we have transcendental knowledge, this is very good. Now, what is that life of transcendental knowledge? That is service to Krishna. If I know I'm eternal servant of Krishna, I have to live that. I'm Krishna's servant. Okay, so Krishna wants me to do some service. What can I do? How can I serve Krishna? How can I please Krishna? So this is the natural life of the jiva. It's the natural life of Krishna to enjoy the loving devotional service of all the inhabitants in the spiritual sky, because they're all engaged in their eternal rasa with Krishna. In loving service. This is what this book explains. How the loving mellows of devotional service are established, how they develop, how they keep everyone on the platform of eternal transcendental bliss. So the principle is, this science is meant for learning how to always be tasting this full transcendental nectar, how to be living on that platform of always pleasing Krishna by loving service. And in this way, that nectar, it is called the nectar of devotion. That devotion is nectar, actually. Whereas, you know, you buy something here in this material world, you buy some so-called nectar from the shops. How much you can even drink of that nectar? And how long you can keep drinking that so-called nectar? But this nectar is amrita. Bhakti ras amrita. The taste of this immortal nectar. There is no end to the transcendental blissful nature of this. It is not like the so-called nectar of this world where you become tired of it. No. We've got material conceptions, material experiences. But this is the nectar of devotion. It is amrita. It's eternally, transcendentally. It is eternally and joyfully performed. This is also what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 2. Yes? Krishna says this, Rajavijya, Rajaguyam, Pavitram Midam Uttamam, Pratyakshagavamam Dharmyam, Shushukam Kartam Avyayam. How does it go? What is the verse? Would you please get Bhagavad Gita for us, Ashoka? This is very important to understand this principle, that this is the platform on which Krishna is automatically very pleased by our activity. Thank you, Prabhu. And by which we also become pleased by this activity. Krishna says here in this chapter 9, which is called
confidential knowledge.
The most confidential knowledge, yes. In text 2, Krishna says, yeah, it has a very long purport actually, so many pages and pages of purport. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting, and it is joyfully performed. So this is the nature of devotional service. This is the platform on which Krishna enjoys. Krishna is interested in any mundane pleasure? No. Krishna is only interested in his eternal, blissful, transcendental nature. Krishna is interested in self-realization, realizing the sweetness and taste of himself, enjoying his own loving, transcendental potencies, of which we are also a part, marginal potency. We're also meant for pleasing Krishna. So this activity of devotional service is what pleases Krishna. How about that? Is it all right? Any questions, any comments? So Krishna says these are of course very nice activities. In the material world they seem very nice. Krishna appreciates them because they're the instructions of Vedic knowledge. They're the religious formularies for making progress. But they, unless they bring one to the point of rendering devotional service to Krishna, then they're simply mundane.
So where does devotees stand, like giving charities? You do end up giving charities sometime, like, you know, if somebody's died and then you give charity for Heart Foundation.
So Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita how there is charity in the mode of ignorance, charity in the mode of passion, and charity in the mode of goodness. And Krishna describes, which is the verse, do you know, where Krishna explains about charity?
Charity, I think it's chapter 18, charity.
Krishna describes the whole thing very nicely. He describes about determination, he describes about understanding, he describes about duty, he describes about knowledge, he describes all these things about how they all relate to the mode of nature, modes of nature. Is it the beginning of chapter 18? And Krishna also says, acts of sacrifice, charity and penance are not to be given up. They must be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity and penance purify even the great souls. So they're very good things to do. But how to actually understand what is the nature of charity? Let's have a look. There's a very nice description here, but it may not be in the index in this, because there's no real index much in the this edition. But I'm hoping Panditji can find it for us. Charity in the Goodness Book, 787. Here we go. It's in chapter 17. Here we go. Yeah. This is how Krishna describes it. In chapter 17, text 20, he says, charity given out of duty, without expectation of return, at the proper time and place, and to a worthy person, is considered to be in the mode of goodness. So who is a worthy person is actually the Brahmins. Actually the Brahmins are worthy people. So this is in the mode of goodness. And then Krishna says in text 21, but charity performed with the expectation of some return, or with a desire for fruitive results, or in a grudging mood, is said to be in the mode of passion. And then he says, and charity performed at an impure place, at an improper time, to unworthy persons, or without proper attention and respect, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So charity is not all one. And actually it's said that even if one gives to a Brahmin in charity, the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explains, that charity given to an unqualified Brahmin, still one is guaranteed to get one's gift back in equal measure in the next life. But if you give to a fully qualified Brahmin, then you can expect 10 times the result back in the next life if you give to a fully qualified Brahmin. But if you give to a 100% pure devotee of the Lord, then the result is given back in the next life thousands and thousandfold. So if you're thinking in any way, in a fruitive way, then better find Krishna's pure devotee and give to him, to assist him. So Prabhupada is encouraging us, we can assist Srila Prabhupada by using our Lakshmi, by whatever means it is obtained, by using it to assist Srila Prabhupada in the spreading of Krishna consciousness throughout the world. That is directly giving in charity to Srila Prabhupada. So it is transcendental goodness. So there are different levels of qualified persons. So giving to a doctor or someone who is going out, you know, preaching Mayavad philosophy and trying to open a hospital, this is not a very good move. Better use, if you want to give in charity, better give for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. That service to Srila Prabhupada is guaranteed to get far better result. Does that answer your question?
No, I'm just saying, sometimes we have to give right out of obligation, because, you know, there's a collection, like, usually there's a collection if somebody dies and they died of, you know, diabetes or heart or something or other, and then families have collection, you see?
Heart foundations or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a job where I'm working for old people's home. Another day somebody died and, you know, they were collecting, so I had to give something, like, at least, you know.
Yes, you may be obliged.
I kind of look like a mean person, I'm not giving.
That's right.
Yes, because people are in ignorance.
Yeah, I can't sit there explaining to them like that.
No, well, that is the difficult thing.
Because I have a different mood.
But the thing is, we should understand, don't give more than you have to, but give. If you want to give more in charity, if you want to do some charitable work, do something which will spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Just like if you want to give grains in charity, very good, but give prasadam, because that will purify people.
And same again with Krishna's presence, you see?
Yeah, give Krishna's presence. Not Christmas presents, Krishna's presents.
Bhagavad Gita or something.
But if it's part of obligation,
well,
you know,
yeah.
Family tradition or obligation, like,
yeah.
You know, it's been happening for so long time that this family must give charity to so and so, you know, places, then isn't it like, doesn't it become a kind of duty, you know?
People have so many kind of duties in this world. They manufacture so many duties in this world. Now if you find yourself locked into that, that it becomes too awkward not to do it, still you should know the result.
Do we get results for it? Do we get reactions for it?
Yes, Prabhupada explained, if you give charity to someone who is going to use the money for drinking and taking intoxication and sinful activities, then you also have to share in the responsibility for that.
Well, that is different. I mean, I never give money to any street people begging on the roads in town.
So
I know they're going to go
and
buy a cigarette or something.
If the fact is, if you give money for, you know, supporting people's karmic activity, then you take a share in that karmic activity.
Really?
Yeah.
You get their karma.
Yeah, you're taking a share in their karma.
But it's unavoidable, isn't it? I don't know, I suppose.
Yeah, well, then you have to see what you can do and pray to Krishna to give you good intelligence, because every circumstance is different. So you have to pray to Krishna to give you good intelligence, how to do the right thing. But we should know what are the principles of what is given in charity. You know? If you're giving in charity to someone who is going to become involved in intoxication and they're going to use that money for eating meat
or
for gambling.
Trying
to understand what I'm saying. I'm saying we should know the principles. That if we understand the principles of what we're doing, then actually Krishna will give us gradually better intelligence to engage nicely. I'm not saying that what you're giving is made for that. I'm just saying we should know the principles as Krishna explains them in Bhagavad Gita.
But even devotees in Vrindavan are engaged, like they go to eye camp and do eye operations free.
Yes, they're serving the...
from cataracts and all.
Yeah, they're serving the...
But isn't that giving in charity then?
They're serving the residents of Vrindavan.
So they get benefit in that way?
Yeah, if you serve Krishna's devotees, you're going to get benefit. Actually.
But my situation is unavoidable. Sometimes I get caught out giving money in charity like that.
Yeah.
Somebody's doing sponsor work or somebody's, you know, die. You know, people come like, you know, since I've been there, they said,
okay.
Five deaths.
But do you understand the principle?
You know, give £1 or £2, really. You see?
But do you understand the principle?
I do understand, but I can't
escape
it. You know, then it sounds like I'm...
Okay.
I'm horrible and insensitive towards the, you know.
Okay.
But
at least
I think it's out of doing it for duty, because like Mataji, she's involved in her work and everybody's giving. So it's participating, being the part of the team and giving.
Yeah.
I mean, although can even like 50p or £1, I think it's all right. Like the other day I was in town, we had the Salvation Army and playing the band. So I put 51p in the box. I thought, no, that's all right, not too much, but about 51p, it's all right. They play the band and they do help.
Yeah.
So that way it's all right. But other charities I wouldn't accept for, like you said, for Krishna consciousness, helping them.
Well, the principle is that the Salvation Army and no one is engaged in devotional service to Krishna. So our business is to try to, as much as possible, engage in the devotional
service. So if you were
working
in a situation, right, what would you say? Would you stand there and tell them you're not giving any money? If you were...
Well, actually, I've been in that situation in the past, and I have told them I've already given a charitable donation, and that I have other charities which I prefer to give to. Because everyone has a right to choose what charities they choose to give to. It's not that... Actually, you can say, well, you know, I don't want to, because even you find the big companies, they're giving in charity, they select a charity which they're deciding, we're going to support this charity. So you have just as much right to say, well, I've decided that with my money I'm going to support this charity. You have a perfect right to do that. You don't actually have to feel obliged. You can say, no, I give in charity to this charity.
You know, okay, Heart Foundation, whatever, I have this allergy, right? There's a celiac society, right? And often they ask for charity from me, and I do send them, like, occasional donations.
But do you understand the principle?
Yeah, I know, but they do it for research, to make person's life better, you see?
Well, what is the making life better? They're not going to make anyone stop dying. They're not going to make anyone stop getting old.
Yeah, but they get better medicine or better product. Or
why are you arguing on this material platform?
I'm not arguing, I'm just saying that if you are sick yourself, you would try to like support others.
Yes, but we're trying to understand here what is on the spiritual platform.
I know.
So this is the topic of our discussion, so why are you bringing in something for engaging in material activity?
Now I'm just confessing that I do end up giving charities, and it's a helpless situation because I'm too shy to say no.
Okay, well that is your defect. But here Krishna is saying,
I don't know what Jayananda Prabhu says, would you sort of stand up and say that?
Well, you just give charity and ignore everything else, just forget everything about it, just forget it, you know. You know, it's a wrong thing you've done it, you know, but just forget it, you know, because if you have to do it, you do it, that's it, you know.
You're saying whatever you say won't make it right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna's saying here the right thing. He says they're very nice activities, but they're not as attractive to me as the transcendental loving service rendered by my devotees. So this is the right thing. This is what Krishna is saying. So we have to not try to justify our own activities, but hear what Krishna is saying and bring our activities in line with what Krishna is saying. That is devotional service if we agree to do what Krishna says.
Just one before that, we're talking about charity. What about when this earthquake or when tsunami happened, you know,
mm-hmm.
years back? What about that then? I mean, like when they ask for a donation then?
Well, the devotees, you see that the devotees over there, they were engaging in massive prasadam distribution to whoever was there. Very good opportunity. Give them prasadam. Because now they're in a position where they'll really appreciate it. Actually, they really appreciate getting prasadam. And if there are funds being collected for some mundane purpose, Krishna is saying here, they're nice activities, but they're not as attractive to me as the transcendental loving service rendered by my devotees. So if the funds are raised for prasadam distribution, then actually this will be very beneficial. If you can somehow or other give Krishna to people in a way that will benefit them, then do it. Then we should know, because our aim should be to try to find ways in which we can please Krishna. This is the goal of the devotee, to try to find out what will please Krishna.
So instead of sending them the direct funds, the charity who collect the funds, we could send it to our temple and they could use the Lakshmi.
Absolutely.
Do it that way.
Absolutely, because the devotees need the support for doing that seva. And they could distribute so much prasadam in that situation.
So you know it's where it's going, you can be 100% sure.
Yeah, you know that it's not just being diverted some other place for the fundraisers. If they're using it actually for the purpose for distributing prasadam, then this is very good.
Yeah,
if it's simply being diverted into other people's pockets, if 50% or 75% gets diverted into other people's pockets, then you're taking 75% of the karma they're going to get from using that money for themselves. Because that's material activity. That's for their personal benefit. So if I'm doing something for my benefit, then I'm getting the karma. But if I'm doing something to please Krishna, not only am I burning up my karma, but I'm not generating any more karma. This is the principle of transcendental knowledge, that we should understand that the purpose I'm actually doing it for, if I'm doing it because it's being done for my benefit, then it's my karma. But if I'm doing it for Krishna's benefit, for pleasing Krishna, then it burns up my karma and it pleases Krishna and it doesn't generate any more karma. So this is a very simple science that we have to know. Not that we try to make everything we've done all right. Actually, if we want to make what we have done all right, Krishna says, you surrender to me and I will take away all the sinful reactions. Not that whatever you think, and then I'll take away all the reactions. Krishna says, no, you surrender to me, you follow my instructions. And that way I will take away all your karma. Very simple. Sarva dharmam parichaja, mam ekam sharanam vaja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo. Krishna says, I take away all the sinful reactions, but mam ekam sharanam vaja. You surrender to me, what I say, not what you think. This is the principle. This is devotional service. This is parampara. This is the line. So if we go on that line, then we please Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Well, here it says, you know, that but they are not as attractive to me.
Yes.
So, but those actually are attracted to Lord Krishna, but not as much as devotional service.
Yeah. So why you want to do something that is not very interesting?
You know, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. If you want to spend your time doing something that's really not very interesting, and instead you can be doing something that's really good. You know, if you want to have, you know, a party where what you serve to the guests is some puffed rice. Great. What about if you give them nice halva and sweet rice and fruit salad and, you know, create a cake with cream? Or you want puffed rice? Which do you want? You want flat rice? Or you want the very interesting thing?
Sweet halva, you know.
Yeah.
Thing, yeah.
Something very delicious. So Krishna says these are very pleasing. So why give Krishna the flat rice when you can give him the first class goodies? This is what he likes. If I give you the flat rice, see your face. Ooh, this is what I've come to this party for. This is what I got all dressed up for. Just the flat rice. Okay. Thank you. Mm. Is it not? Still rice, you can serve it in a different way. This is our philosophy, because the Mayavadis, they say, well, it's rice, bus, you know, it's all one. But our principle is varieties. We use the rice and we make rice into so many different wonderful preparations. You mix the grains, the ghee, the milk, the products, and you make the most exotic, delicious preparations. Then it becomes very nice. Not just that I put some grains and milk on your plate and say, here you go. It's not all one. Otherwise, why you look forward to prasadam? It's very good. Is it okay?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so Ashok Prabhu, would you like to read a paragraph for us?
The third paragraph, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
How Krishna becomes attracted by the devotional service of his devotees is described by Narada in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 10th chapter, verse 48 and 49. Then Narada addresses King Yudhishthir while the king is appreciating the glories of the character of Prahlad Maharaj. A devotee always appreciates the activities of other devotees. Yudhishthir Maharaj was appreciating the qualities of Prahlad, and that is one symptom of a pure devotee. A pure devotee never thinks himself great. He always thinks that other devotees are greater than himself. The king was thinking, Prahlad Maharaj is actually a devotee of the Lord, while I am nothing. And while thinking this, he was addressed by Narada as follows. My dear King Yudhishthir, you, the Pandava brothers, are the only fortunate people in this world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared on this planet and is presenting himself to you as an ordinary human being. He is always with you in all circumstances. He is living with you and covering himself from the eyes of others. Others cannot understand that he is the Supreme Lord, but he is still living with you as your cousin, as your friend, and even as your messenger. Therefore, you must know that nobody in this world is more fortunate than you.
Mm. This is the situation. Krishna likes to live with his devotees. The others, they have no access. But for his devotees, he's living with them personally. As their friend, as their messenger, as even as their order carrier. This is Krishna. So our interest has to be for Krishna. Hmm. So, therefore the Pandavas are actually very fortunate. So the question should come is, what do I want in my life? Do I want to be settling for the flat rice? Or do I want to go for the first class prasadam? Hmm? Yeah. This is the difference. So the material world and all the material activities means the flat rice, actually. this is the difference. So when people come, actually in our feasts, in the early days, always there would be halava, rice, sabji, some chutney, puri, like that. Delicious preparations, very nicely made. And people will just be in bliss coming for the Sunday feast. This is an ISKCON feast. Really simple. Now we do so many other things, but these are really, really good. They're good first class quality feast. And it's on the basis of this, actually, that Prabhupada spread this Krishna consciousness movement. Whatever is available, utilize these things. Of course, you can make different preparations, but they should all be first class. And then people become attracted. Krishna becomes attracted by offering of nice first class food, offered with love and devotion to him. Offered with a view to satisfying the Lord and his devotees. If it's done in that mentality, Krishna becomes pleased. If it's done for name and fame, just like Krishna is describing, that charity performed it with the expectation of some return, or with a desire for fruitive results, or in a grudging mood, is said to be charity in the mode of passion. Or if it's done at an impure place, at an improper time, to unworthy persons, or without proper attention and respect, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So we should understand that the serving of prasadam, the cooking of prasadam, the offering of prasadam, the honoring of prasadam, should be done with full attention and consciousness and respect and consideration. This is honoring the remnants of Lord Krishna's offering, actually. It should be done to please Krishna in very nice consciousness. So that's why these two prayers were always Omagyana Temarandasya and Sri Chaitanya Manuvishtam. They were always on the wall in the temple room and in the kitchen. And when we would go in to do any service in the kitchen, any service at all, whether it was washing the pots, whether it was scrubbing the floor, whether it was rolling chapatis, whether it's peeling the potatoes or cooking or making up Krishna's dishes, in very place, this is how we were always taught. First you recite these two prayers. Put yourself in the right frame of mind, in the right consciousness, so you understand what we're actually doing. And there on the wall will be the verse and the translation, the verse and the translation, so we could get our hearts and minds focused in the right frame of mind for offering this as service to Krishna. So these are very important.
Don't think we have it in here in the kitchen, do we?
We used to. I put it on the kitchen a few times. But
where would I get the prayers you were saying? Where could I get it?
You find them at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita.
Oh, the long one, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, the first two verses from page one on the introduction.
So
you find those first two verses, yeah.
Okay, no, I'll do that.
Very good verses to learn and to meditate on.
It's any service you do, isn't it? Like
yes.
If I'm doing sewing, then I pray.
Yes, and you know, when you're doing deity service,
yeah.
Whenever we're doing any service, to remember, just like we come in the temple and we bow down and we offer obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. These prayers, when we're coming in and when we're leaving, offering some service, these should always be chanted. And we should try to remember what is the meaning of these things, because that will help us practice keeping in the right frame of consciousness, so we stay Krishna conscious 24 hours. Not just, I got to go to the temple, oh, I don't want to go to the temple because I'm going to have to offer my obeisances. No. It's an opportunity to offer our obeisances and think of Krishna. It's an opportunity to remember what my real business of life is actually about. How about that? What do you think? Okay, so here, this situation is very nicely described. That how Krishna becomes attracted by the devotional service of his devotees. Krishna is so attracted by the Pandava service that he wants to be with them. The other people, although they're doing so many wonderful, worthy activities, Krishna's not attracted to go and be with them. So if we want to be with Krishna, if we want to attract Krishna to want to be with us, just like Prabhupada gave that example, that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he was giving class in one of the temples in India, and the conch blew, and this one devotee got up to go to the aarti. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to see the aarti. And here's Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he's explaining about Krishna. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Prabhupada, he told him, he said, do not act in such a way that you will see Krishna. Act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. So if you become eager to hear and understand about Krishna, Krishna will become attracted. And he says this in Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma chime divyam. One who knows in truth, one who has actually understood the facts about who I am, what is my janma and what is my karma, that devotee never takes birth again. But he comes to my eternal abode, Arjuna. So how much eager we should be to try to understand about Krishna and the science of serving Krishna. That way we can attract Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. But nothing else we do, what qualification we've got to attract Krishna. Krishna's going to be attracted by my hairstyle or my bank balance, you know, or my wardrobe, or my fancy watch, or my car, or my job. Yeah. Any of these things are going to attract Krishna? Or my intellectual capacity, you know, or my cooking ability, or my ability to dance or sing. Only when they're used to satisfy Krishna does Krishna become attracted by them. Otherwise, what value are they? Krishna's going to think, yeah, I got a really great house. You know. Yeah? Some dump in the material world out of rotting bricks and wood. Where the mice climb in. This is such a wonderful place. Krishna will be attracted to come here. Yes, if your home, if you know this is Krishna's home, and where I am living, I'm being given the good fortune to live here as Krishna's servant. So this is Krishna's home. It must be used for Krishna's purpose. And I must be used also for Krishna's purpose. Then Krishna will be very pleased to come and live there. Yes, this is my devotee. Even Krishna says, there's one place quoted here in Nectar of Devotion, that it said that one who claims to be my devotee, Krishna says he is not actually my devotee. But one who claims to be the devotee of my devotee, he is my real devotee. So these things we have to understand. Not that we have any qualification to approach Krishna directly, but we can approach Krishna by the mercy of his devotee. So here, Prabhupada explains this point that he's describing Srimad Bhagavatam 7.10.48.49. Then Narada addresses King Yudhisthira, while the king is appreciating the glories of the character of Prahlad Maharaj. So actually, Yudhisthira Maharaj, he's appreciating the wonderful activities of this devotee. And he's thinking, actually, he is the real devotee. I'm not even worth considering, but actually this devotee, he's doing so much pleasing service to Krishna. And Prabhupada says here, a devotee always appreciates the activities of other devotees. And Yudhisthira Maharaj was appreciating the qualities of Prahlad, and that is one symptom of a pure devotee. A pure devotee never thinks himself great. He always thinks that other devotees are greater than himself. The king was thinking, Prahlad Maharaj is actually a devotee of the Lord, while I am nothing. This is his thing. It's not artificial. It's real. Just like we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Krishna Das Kaviraj Maharaj, he's saying, he's writing. And it's not sentiment, it's not for show. Actually, he's feeling like that, that I am lower than a worm in stool. He said people become sinful just by hearing my name. They lose all their pious activities if they just hear my name. This is the thinking of a pure devotee. He's not thinking, well, I'll write a book and I'll become glorious. Yeah. People will say, Jai, such and such. It's useless. If they step on my head, that will be better. Yeah. As they're coming in and out of the temple, if they step on my head, that will be mercy. I'll get the dust from the feet of the devotees. So anyway, and he's addressing, he's falling at the feet and of his devotees, all the readers, and saying, please hear these glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the thinking, this is what Lord Chaitanya teaches us in this third verse of the Shikshastika, which goes like... Taro riva sahishnana, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. And it goes like this is the translation, if you know, you carry on. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So this is Lord Chaitanya. He's teaching us, by his own example, how to become Krishna's devotee. What is pleasing to Krishna? Krishna doesn't like devotees to be proud. We were reading in the Krishna book that the gopis, they were feeling themselves the most fortunate ladies in the whole universe because they were walking with Krishna and dancing and embracing Krishna. And Krishna could detect that they're proud. So he disappeared. And they were mortified. And they could understand, yes, Krishna has left us because I became proud. And they could understand that and they started crying and they became purified by that lamentation. Because when someone becomes proud, Krishna changes his attitude towards the devotee. When a devotee becomes proud, Krishna changes his attitude. And the classic example, we see Indra. To see what pride can do to wreck our devotional service. Indra is a great devotee. When he offers sacrifices, all the demigods come and Lord Vishnu personally comes and he eats what Indra offers him. This is a devotee. Yeah? But still, because of pride, his mind became so distorted that he wanted to punish Krishna. He wanted to punish the inhabitants of Vrindavan. He wanted to smash them, destroy their livelihood, kill all the cows and calves. This is the result of pride and anger. It's so destructive in devotional service. So Krishna, he didn't like Indra being so proud and he wanted to crush his pride to powder. So he did it in a very sweet way with the tip of his little finger. He crushed Indra's pride. So Indra was left And you see, even at the end, when all this was done, Indra came, and not in public, to offer his prayers. He came to Krishna in a solitary place, and came very apologetically offering prayers, and says, "My dear Lord, there are many fools like me in this material world, but I am very sorry. Please forgive me. Please do not take my offense very seriously." So this is wanted, that humility has to come in. And the example of Indra is very nice, because on our behalf, he shows us what mistakes not to make, not to be proud, because then we destroy our devotional service. What is my qualification? Indra, he's the king of the demigods. Yeah. What he says, you know, the Sanvartika clouds, they follow his, yeah, Indra says we've got to go and do it. Okay, we'll go and do it. What I say, everyone will ignore. But Indra is a great personality. So what is our qualification? What qualification we have got? So we learn from the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam so much, because these are actually the pastimes of the Lord, the character of the Lord, his pastimes, and the character of the Lord's devotees. And this way we learn so many really, really important lessons. Actually, so many times in the pages of Bhagavatam, we find devotees having problems. But Krishna helps the devotees get through their problems. So many problems. Parikshit Maharaj, he had a problem. His problem was that he was emperor of the world, and he couldn't extricate himself from that position of opulence. He felt he couldn't become fully engaged in devotional service. So Krishna arranged something very nice. Okay, come on out of it. And you hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj, he became perfect by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And Shukadeva Goswami became perfect by speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are very nice examples. Krishna can make nice arrangements. We may think that's very scary. I'm kind of got myself a nice position here, but Krishna can help us get released from that entanglement of the condition just by a single, you know, blow it away. Just like that. So this is very important to understand. So this thing is very important. And this, and here it's stated that Prahlad Maharaj, King Yudhisthira was thinking, he's actually a devotee of the Lord, while I am nothing. This is how Yudhisthira Maharaj was thinking. Such a great king, the emperor of the world. Krishna is personally the supreme personality of Godhead, is living with him, carrying out his orders, sometimes being a messenger and being a dearmost friend, and he's thinking he's nothing. And Narada Muni, he's saying to Yudhisthira Maharaj, while he's thinking like this, he's saying, "My dear King Yudhisthira, you, the Pandava brothers, are the only fortunate people in this world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared on this planet and is presenting himself to you as an ordinary human being. He is always with you in all circumstances. He's living with you and covering himself from the eyes of others. Others cannot understand that he is the Supreme Lord, but he's still living with you as your cousin, as your friend, and even as your messenger. Therefore, you must know that nobody in this world is more fortunate than you." So Yudhisthira Maharaj is still thinking, "I'm very unfortunate." He's thinking like that. He's not proud. But actually, he's the most fortunate. And the gopis we saw, they were with Krishna, thinking themselves the most fortunate, and became proud. And so Krishna left them. So these are such important lessons of what will attract Krishna. What I can do to attract Krishna. So this section that we're reading is attracting Krishna. This is one of the six primary characteristics of pure devotional service, that it's the only means to attract Krishna. Nothing else will attract Krishna. Is it okay? Any questions or comments?
Just one. You know when you said Yudhishthira Maharaj is thinking he's not fortunate now than when he said he is.
Yes.
So, I mean, it can be that, like today, I mean, Krishna consciousness have got the association of good Vaishnavas, devotees and everything. So it may not be out of proudness, but as fortunate thinking is that I have, you know, I'm today in Krishna consciousness and I'm working towards to become a good devotee, to the sectors and associated with devotees. So in that way, we can think as fortunate, but not as proudness. Is that all right, or that still comes under proudness?
We should think, actually, I'm not a good devotee. I'm a really useless devotee. But I'm just trying to follow the orders of my Guru Maharaj. If we want to be proud that my spiritual master, he is such a wonderful devotee. Krishna is so wonderful. Be proud of Krishna. Be proud of the spiritual master. Be proud of the wonderful devotee. And be proud, actually, the principle here is Yudhisthira Maharaj, he's appreciating the good qualities of others. If I'm proud, whose good qualities can I see?
No, it's not a question of being proud, what I mean to say appreciating.
Well,
when like you appreciate it, but not in the sense of being proud, but you appreciate, you feel that, you know there's a part of it. Not being the pride, but appreciating, finding yourself like fortunate that you are part
yes.
of it. But not in the pride, but appreciating.
Yes, one should appreciate that only by the mercy of Guru and Krishna and the Vaishnavas have I become fortunate enough to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. If I think that I've got some good qualities, then whose good qualities can I see?
Krishna's.
No. If I think I've got some good qualities, whose good qualities can I see?
Nobody else.
I can only see my so-called good qualities, and I can't see any good qualities in others, and if I see some, I become envious of their good qualities. That why they have any good quality, they're competing with me. This is really sad, but it's a fact. But if I can appreciate that there are good qualities in others, actually it helps me to understand what is my good quality in comparison with them. Yeah. So the physical activity of appreciating the good qualities of others is purifying. Whereas the physical activity of appreciating my good qualities is contaminating. How about that? And if I see the other's faults, then actually this is my contamination. Because one of the 26 characteristics of a devotee is that he's averse to fault finding in others. He sees his own fault. Actually, he's very humbled by seeing his own faults. But actually, he doesn't like to see or hear or consider the faults of others. He sees actually their good qualities. And in this way, recognizes that these devotees are glorious. But what is my position? It is only by mercy I'm somehow hanging on in this movement. That's the fact.
Yeah, even Yudhishthira Maharaj, a great soul, you know, he's still praising the devotee of Maharaj, you know, not his own qualities. You know.
He's thinking of himself as being nothing.
Very low than Prahlad Maharaj.
So this is it, lower, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. Devoid of all sense of false prestige and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly.
But is it right to think like that even in a material world, I mean, in a spiritual world, you know, when you're associating with devotees, you can think that, you know, I'm the lowest among the devotees and things like
that's
that.
Good.
When you're associating with, like, mundane people, you know, is it right to think that I'm the Lord and, you know, I'm the Lord and all these people around
me? No, the principle is that when we're on the second class platform, or if we try to come to the second class platform, then there are three platforms: first class, second class, third class. We start devotional service on the third class platform, neophyte devotees. The neophyte devotee, the Kanishtha Adhikari, he sees only the Lord in the temple, but he doesn't recognize the value or appreciate the value of the Krishna's devotees. But on the second class platform, he has to see four items. One, the Supreme Lord. He tries to be engaged in his loving service. Two, the Lord's devotees. He tries to serve them and make friends with them. Three, the innocent. Tries to help them become Krishna conscious. And four, the envious. He avoids such persons because you can serve them best by avoiding them.
That's the second class platform, is it?
That's the second class platform. The first class platform is I see everyone, even the materialists, as engaged in far better service to Krishna than me. That's the thinking, that's the consciousness on the first class platform of the Uttama Adhikari. He sees even the insignificant insect as rendering far better devotional service to Krishna. So this cannot be imitated. Is that okay? So our business is to try to aspire to the second class platform, and then we try to serve and make friendship with the devotees and try to give Krishna to the innocent. Not that I only want to be with the devotees. We have to make those four distinctions: Krishna, the devotees, the innocent, and the envious. So these four active principles. One, try to render service to Krishna. Two, try to serve and make friendship with the Lord's devotees. Three, try to give Krishna, assist those who are innocent in helping them advance in Krishna consciousness, bring them closer to Krishna. And four, the envious, avoid them, you know, just don't get around them, just stay away from them. But we must also be compassionate to help those who are innocent, or those who may not be very much progressed in devotional service. How do we help them make progress? This is essential, because these four principles have to be understood. And if we don't help others advance and make progress in Krishna consciousness, why should anyone help us? Just like in the Lord's Prayer, now we're coming to Christmas, tonight is Christmas Eve, but in the Lord's Prayer he says that, please forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. So why should we expect forgiveness for others, from others, unless we are prepared to forgive others for their trespasses against us? We have to be very tolerant and humble, and on the same principle, we should try to help others make progress in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, why should we expect anyone to help us in Krishna consciousness? Or I may be so fool and proud and think, I don't need any help. I'm making my own advancement. I'm okay. Yeah. These are all different stages of madness, actually. Is that okay? Okay. Good. So we have one short paragraph to conclude this. So let's read this one. Who'd like to?
Okay, I'll read it for you.
Okay.
In Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna appeared in his universal form, Arjuna prayed, "My dear Krishna, I thought of you as my cousin brother, and so I have shown disrespect to you in so many ways, calling you Krishna or friend. But you are so great that I could not understand." So that was the position of the Pandavas. Although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the greatest among all greats, he remained with those royal brothers, being attracted by their devotion, by their friendship, and by their love. That is the proof of how great this process of devotional service is. It can attract even the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God is great, but devotional service is greater than God because it attracts him. People who are not in devotional service can never understand what great value there is in rendering service to the Lord.
Mm. Yes. So our business is to try to get help. This is why we hear about Krishna consciousness, so that we can understand what is the value in devotional service and try to help others also understand what is the value in devotional service. This is wanted. This is why Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas, this is why Krishna himself wants to give everyone. He's explaining Bhagavad Gita. And he's saying one who explains this secret to the devotees is the most dear servant to me. This attracts Krishna so much. And Krishna says for that person who's explaining this to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. There's no one going to be more dear to me than such a person. And at the end he comes back to me. So this is the principle. So we should recognize that we have to put aside our personal likes or dislikes or fears or prestige or whatever it may be and try to help others understand about Krishna. This is why the devotees at this time, even up to this hour at night, are still out distributing books on the streets to try to give people some chance to approach Krishna, to understand something about Krishna. And just by agreeing to somehow or other hear about Krishna, Krishna has become attracted. Oh, this person is hearing something about me. Very good. And their lives are being changed. So this book distribution program is never to be sneezed at. It is such an important thing. These devotees who have been out there for the past month on the streets and who are still out there now as we speak, distributing books, trying to get the last possible chance to distribute another book. Let me just try to do one more book. See if I can get someone else to take a book. They're actually very advanced devotees. They're very realized souls. Because they know that by this activity, they're pleasing Krishna. They're attracting Krishna by their attitude of distributing Srila Prabhupada's mercy. They may be thinking, I'm not very merciful. But Srila Prabhupada is merciful. Krishna is merciful. Let me try to become an instrument for distributing this mercy to others. And that will please Krishna. The thing, just like the saying is, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. So our business is not to be part of the problem, it's try to be part of the solution, to try to be an instrument for spreading Krishna consciousness. And this attracts Krishna very much. Is it all right? Okay. So this is the proof of how great this process of devotional service is. It can attract even the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God is great, but devotional service is greater than God because it attracts Him. And people who are not in devotional service can never understand what great value there is in rendering service. Therefore, they have to become somehow or other, knowingly or unknowingly, engaged in devotional service. And then they'll be able to understand what is the value. If they take these books and they just begin to read it, and then just like yourselves, they become eager to understand, then you can appreciate what is the value of trying to render service to Krishna. Actually, it is the means, the only means, to attract the attention of Krishna. Okay, let's call a halt for tonight. So thank you all very, very much. Srila Prabhupada, thank you very, very much for kindly giving us this mercy and engaging us in trying to understand something about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nectar of devotion ki jai. And next week, chapter 2. Jai. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutana Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityananda Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Bhagavacharya Nirvishesha Sanyavada Kastu Jaya Shaitanya.